Hello and welcome. I'm Richard from VegGrow Podcast. Today's date is the 9th of October 2017, and this is episode 137, titled What to Do with Pumpkins. And coming up today, I've got the usual diary where I'll share with you what I've been doing on my plots in this last week, including a few developments with a saffron, seeds that I've sown, and a few harvests that I want to talk about. After that, I'm going to share a few ideas on a few meals to do with pumpkins. I've always felt pumpkins are such a great food source, yet, particularly in the UK, we don't really use it as food. It's generally just used for Halloween and pumpkin carving, and I just kind of feel that's a bit of a waste of food. Especially when I discuss the culinary uses that are so simple, you'll wonder why you've never done them before. Anyway, but before that, let's get on and talk about the diary. Now, during the week when I've got home from work, I haven't really been able to do much due to light being low. There's also been a bit of a spam attack on the blog, which I've been dealing with as well. But all I've really managed to do is a bit of watering and giving the hedgehogs a bit of food. However, Saturday I managed a fair amount of work in the garden. I started in the greenhouse where I gave a good check over the plants that I've still growing in there. These are the aubergine plants, the peppers and the chilies. Now, they're actually all growing very, very well and showing no signs of being affected by cold or anything like that. I'm going to see how long they last for. And in fact, the pepper I have on there is actually really big, a decent size, although it is still green and I want to get it to ripen more. I did note the hedgehog didn't eat any food Friday night that I'd left out for it, which I was a bit worried about. But I left more food out and it did eat it. Now, on Saturday, I actually noticed during the week that my saffron, as I've had one tub that was sat on top of the table in the garden, had started producing flowers and, of course, produced the saffron, which, of course, I harvested. And I decided to move as many tabs of saffron on top of this table. So I moved them all up and weeded them out as best as I could. When I checked on them today, there were more flowers, which of course have been harvested. So I wonder if these do better being a slightly bit higher up. I don't know whether it's the height or the sun or what. However, they do originate from the Himalayas. A good amount of saffron is now coming through. I grow saffron every year, so I'm pleased with that. I then tidied some of my little plants I had on top of a chicken coop. Just went through them. I moved some of the chilies into the potting shed to keep them a bit warmer and we may be able to overwinter them. The plants that have basically died back have gone into the compost bins, and the compost that they were growing in, I've basically thrown out on the ground and letting the chickens just kind of dig it over and spread it around like they do. I then went into my potting shed and just a little quick tidy up, not a huge amount because I'm going to have to spend some time in there and really get it sorted out, but just made it a little bit more organized. And while I was in there, I noticed the choy sun that I'd sown last week has germinated. I also lifted the lid off the seedlings that were sown the week before, as they were getting pretty big and strong, and they're going to need potting up very soon. I then filled two root trainer trays with John Innes number 2. And I sprayed this with water. I'm ready so I could sow some seeds the following day. After this, I then took time just to walk around the garden with a notebook and pen and just wrote a to-do list of all the things that I can see need doing. And it was quite a long list. This is just kind of, I do this from time to time as I just find myself feeling like I've got so many jobs that need doing. Sometimes just sitting back and writing a list just gets all in perspective, and I can say, right, got 5 minutes, I can do that or this. And it works for me. Now, Sunday, I headed down the allotment. I took my usual walk around the plot when I first got there. And I noticed I had two little butternut squashes growing on the plants. Bit of a surprise, as I thought it might be too late, but it wasn't. And although they're very small, I can't see them growing that big, I'm still really pleased with that, especially as I talked about them a couple of weeks ago. So we'll monitor those. I can't see them getting huge, but I reckon they'll ripen and we'll have a bit of butternut squash. I then poured more well-rotted manure onto what will be the shallot bed and then tamped it down. I've got to get some more manure to complete that bed, but it's making a start and getting there. Now, when I went there that day, I had a plan for what I was going to do. That was to make some comfrey feed. So I started by filling one of my empty water butts up with water. And I just pumped this from one butt that catches the rain and filled that into one that basically doesn't catch the rain. And the one that isn't attached to any downpipes or anything, the one that doesn't catch the rain, that is going to be what I make my comfrey feed into. So I went to my comfrey bed and I had to use secateurs as I couldn't find my shears. And I just cut down a few comfrey stems. I tried breaking them and stuffing them into an old pillow as best as I could. And as much as I could get in there, as long as I could tie the top. I then took this pillow bag stuffed with comfrey and just threw it into the water butt, or placed it into the water butt, I should say. And all the rest of the comfrey that I've cut down, that will just go onto the compost heap or into manure bins to rot down. However, the comfrey in the butt, as it rots down, it will stink to high heaven. But it makes this kind of black gold, which is a fantastic feed for tomatoes and things. I think every allotment should grow comfrey. I've done podcasts in the past about comfrey and how great it really is. It's a wonder plant. And this is one of the things it does. It's great for making a wonderful feed. So with that job out the way, I decided I was going to hoe a few empty beds. And although they're empty, I like just getting a hoe weed going through them. There's a saying, hoe when you don't see a weed and you'll never see a weed. And it's saying I should try and adopt. With that out the way, I set about some harvesting. And I won't get too mad because we're still trying to eat things up at home. But these were things that had to be harvested. So harvested some more tomatoes. These are the Mountain Magic and they are doing fantastic. I got about 10 tomatoes from these, which I'm really pleased with. And considering I haven't really looked after them very well this year, I'm chuffed with them. And I then harvested my large pumpkin, which is why I'm going to be talking about what to do with pumpkins today. And I wasn't sure whether to harvest it or not. I just looked at it and I thought, no, I'm going to do it. So I cut it off, leaving quite a bit of a stem on as much as I could. I gave it a bit of a wash down and dried and lifted it into the van and got it home. I knew by lifting it, it was going to be quite heavy, but when I got home, I wanted to weigh it, and I had to use the bathroom scales to weigh it. It weighed in at 2 stone, 0 pound and 4 ounces, so just slightly above 2 stone. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll see I've posted a picture of it. Now, I'm really happy with this pumpkin. It's not going to break any records, but I think it's a personal record. And it's great, it's great. And this is why I'm going to talk about a few recipes for pumpkins today. As I said in the intro, we tend to grow pumpkins just for carving. And I just feel that is a great shame and a bit of a loss of a food waste. There's a lot of food in pumpkins. And as I said, my pumpkin weighed in just over 2 stone. My 5-year-old niece weighs pretty much the same weight. That's a lot of food if you think about it. And of course, pumpkins stored correctly, they can last us well into the winter. But we got to know what to do with them. And there are lots of recipes on the internet. And I've got 3 that I've tried in the past that I'm going to share with you now. I'm going to give, like I always do when I talk about recipes, give you quick instructions on how to do them. But of course, if you want to see if you want to read on how to do them, there'll be links on the blog post for this episode if you want to go do some more reading onto it. Now, my first recipe is actually more to do with the seeds. So even if you've grown pumpkins for carving faces, you can still eat the seeds and they don't get wasted. And what we do is we basically scoop out the seeds out of the pumpkins, give them a good wash and try and get rid of any fleshy of them, or any of the fleshy pumpkin stuff off them. Pat them down with a bit of paper towel just to dry them off. If you're going to save some seed for growing new plants next year, this is a time to remove them. The seed we're going to eat now simply gets tossed into a couple of tablespoons of melted butter. We then spread the seeds onto an oven tray and bake them in an oven at about 150°C or gas mark 2 for about 45 minutes until golden brown. Season them with a bit of salt and pepper and eat them. And they're a very healthy, tasty snack. And they can throw them in your lunchbox and just graze on them. As almost like nuts sort of thing. And what I love about these is that it doesn't waste things that we would normally throw in a bin. You know, the seeds. You get a lot of seeds in most pumpkins. Now, my next one is probably something everybody has heard of. And that's pumpkin pie. But I do feel that us Brits, we're very wary of this for some reason. I certainly was. It just didn't sound very appetizing when I first heard about pumpkin pie. Being that it is a US dish, especially from Thanksgiving. Bearing in mind pumpkins come from America, it makes sense. But many years ago now, my wife actually cooked me pumpkin pie. And I'm the type, I'll try anything once, and if I don't like it, that's it. But I tried this, and I was hooked. It was a really good dessert, and really, really tasty. And now I realised why it's so popular across the pond. So what we do is we take about 750 grams of the pumpkin flesh, pour it in a saucepan and cover with water. Bring to the boil and then simmer for about 15 minutes until tender. and nice and soft that we can just poke a knife into it and it just sinks. We'll then drain the pumpkins off, or the pumpkin off, and leave it to cool. While it cools, we'll line a flan dish with pastry and then just kind of blind bake it on about gas mark for 180 degrees C for 15 minutes. Once the pumpkin is cooled, we push it through a sieve, into a bowl, just to try and get a really smooth base, I guess. I actually find a potato ricer is very good for this. It just gets a bit more pressure on it, makes life a bit easier. Then in a separate bowl, we mix together a bit of salt, sugar, nutmeg, cinnamon, a few beaten eggs, milk and melted butter. And then we add this into the pumpkin and mix it to make a really good puree. This puree then goes into the pastry dish and it's baked in an oven now on about gas mark 7, 220 degrees C, about 10 minutes. When we then reduce the heat down to gas mark 4, 180 degrees C, and leave it to bake for about 35 minutes. Basically until the filling is set. So it kind of has a slight wobble, or you can stick your knife through it and it comes out clean. Please do give this a try if you're not sure on it. You won't regret it. It is truly wonderful. Now, another very, very simple meal that I always like to make with pumpkins is very simply pumpkin soup. It's a great warming comfort food, and I like to make a fairly large batch up and keep some in the freezer. And like all soup recipes, it's really not hard to do. Pretty much the same thing as we all do with any soup. Sweat down some garlic and onions in a little olive oil. We then add the pumpkins and cover in vegetable stock. We may sometimes add potato or sweet potato or something. But we then bring all this up to a boil and then simmer with a lid on until all the ingredients are soft. Once they're soft, we take off the heat, leave to cool for a few minutes, and then we blend it together, either in a blender or I use a stick blender, to make a smooth soup. We then warm this again for serving and season with salt and pepper to taste. Sometimes for an extra kick, I will add chilli and oh, that's lovely. And I always enjoy this meal. And it's one of these that I like to make a decent amount and keep some in the freezer. Especially in the middle of winter when it's cold. It's just one of those lovely meals that I can just come home from work and just grab out the freezer and it's ready. And it is lovely. So I highly, highly recommend that. Now, because I was researching this subject for this podcast, I actually came across an article from The Guardian where they've shared their 10 favourite pumpkin recipes. And I'll add the links to this article on the blog post. And it's well worth a look. They're a little bit more complicated than the ones I've talked about. That's because I always try and keep my recipes fairly easy to talk about on a podcast. But this 10 has really got my taste buds going mad. One in particular that I just read and I'm going to be cooking this weekend is pumpkin risotto with bacon and leeks. And I'm salivating at the thought of that, to be honest. I'll be trying it this weekend and I shall let you know how that goes next week. As always, if anyone else has any recipes that they would like to share, please get in touch and I will share it with the other listeners. Simply visit veggrowpodcast.co.uk for details or email me at richard@veggrowpodcast.co.uk. And that is it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Any comments, suggestions, and always, as I just said, share any recipes, get in touch. Until next time, please take care, and I'll see you all again.